Now we have encounter nights run by these two lovely gentlemen, and they'll tell you more when I leave, which is now.
Wonderful.
Right, everyone. Great to have you all here. A couple of rules before we get started. Journey instructions, one might say. Stick together, pay attention, avoid distractions, and get involved. Tonight is an immersive experience about the reality in which we live. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said,
"Let there be light."
And so there was light. And God saw the light, and the light was good. So God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day, and the darkness he named night. Then God said,
"Let there be a horizon in the middle of the water in order to separate the water."
So God made the horizon and separated the water above and below the horizon, and so it was. God named what was above the horizon sky. Then God said,
"Let the water under the sky come together in one area, and then let land appear."
And so it was. God named the dry land earth, and the water that came together he named sea. And God saw it was good. Then God said,
"Let the earth produce vegetation, plants containing seeds, each of its own type, and fruits bearing seeds, each of its own type."
And so it was. Then God said,
"Let there be lights in the sky to separate the day from the night. There will be signs and will mark religious festivals, days and years. There will be lights in the sky to shine on the earth."
And so it was. God made two bright lights, the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. He also made the stars. Then God said,
"Let there be birds in the sky to fly over the earth."
Then God said,
"Let the water swarm with swimming creatures."
And God saw that they were good. Then God said,
"Let the earth produce every type of living creature, every type of domestic animal, crawling animal, and wild animal."
And so it was. Then God said,
"Let us make humans in our image, in our likeness."
So God created mankind in his own image, male and female, he created them. And as part of our first activity for the night, Tobocho, Genevieve, thank you. What you're going to do is that you are going to do something that God did. You are going to create a human being, a little model of a human being, from clay. As we were made from dust, you shall be doing something similar. So, yes, give you guys a minute or so once you have your clay. Right, so you guys can take your Play-Doh / clay and make a human, make a creature, make a form, make something, preferably a human, something in your image. Cool. Right. Wonderful, everyone. Loving the little men that we are seeing. God's made a diverse creation, hasn't he? Wonderful. So, God made man in his own image, and God blessed them and said,
"Be fertile, increase in number, fill the earth and be its master. Rule the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals that crawl on the earth."
And God saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. And on the seventh day, God stopped the work he had been doing. Now God used to walk with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. Just imagine how awesome it must have been to have your Creator walking with you, to be told by him how much he loves you, and to be and he had created you to be with him forever, and to respond to it with love and devotion. Now what I'm going to ask you to do is to come up to the front, and God is going to give you what one might call a love letter, expressing what he thinks about you, who he's made you to be. So if I could call each table up to come and receive a letter from God here. And once you have your letter, you can open it and read. Okay. Next table. Guys, come up and get your letters. Right. So in that letter, we find two very important aspects of our reason for existence. Number one, we realize that God made us in His image. When it says that, it doesn't just mean that He made us to look like Him. He made us to resemble who He is. He made us to have the same creative personality He has, the same wisdom, the same emotions. He made us to have personhood at the end of the day. And the second thing is that He made us to engage with Him on the most intimate level. He made us to be with Him. He didn't just put us on the earth and went off and said, cheers, have a nice life. It is that He used to walk with man. He made man to be with Him for eternity. So the Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden and told him to work and take care of it. And He said to him as well,
you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.
Now, you know the story goes. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also because she desired wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she gave some to her husband as well, who was with her, and he ate it too. There's a bowl of forbidden fruit here. You're all invited to come up and have a piece. This is the original fruit from the garden. He managed to get it from a specialized archaeological dig. So please, come before it goes. Great stuff. Wasn't that fruit divine? Yes. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. They'd realized that they had messed up big time. They'd sinned. They had sinned against God. They disobeyed the ultimate person, ultimate standard of righteousness at the end of the day, the person who embodied all that was good. So our sins separate us from God. So what I'd like you to do now, so look over at the graffiti wall there. That is our situation. You've eaten the forbidden fruit, you've disobeyed God, and now there's a rift between yourself and God. I want you to go up there and write at least one sin that you've committed in your life. It doesn't need to be very detailed. Something vague. An acknowledgement. Up you go. Right. Thank you so much for opening up, going there. So just to reiterate, let there be quiet. And it was good. Anyway, so yes, as we mentioned before, that sin is what separates us from God. And after mankind sinned and disobeyed, there was that schism between God and ourselves, and we lost that intimate connection that God originally made for us to have. Yeah. So the Lord God banished him, man, from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. Now you all, this room represents Eden and perfect communion with God. You have lost that. Would you mind leaving?
Get out.
And follow Tama down to the Diz room. So welcome back, everyone, to where we started. And to the next part, where's our bailiff? Mario, the man right there. And so now, you guys can sit where you are, just relax, chill. Mario is going to give a demonstration.
So how many of you have ever heard of or kind of had this saying that life is short, and because life is short, you'd better live it to the full, live it up as much as you can, because it's short and you're going to die? Yeah. So how many of you ever kind of I know my life is short, so I'm going to have as much fun as I can. I'm going to do all the things I can, squeeze in everything I can, so that I know when I die, I just kind of, I've lived it up a little bit. Yeah. No? Few? I'd say most of us, even for those who've not put up their hands. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, when you think about how long your life is, I mean, do you think of it, do you think to yourself, my life is so long, I've got so much time? Or do you think, my life is just kind of really short? Who thinks life generally is really short? And, you know, just something in Mark and Debbie's genes. who thinks they have plenty of time, there's all the time in the world to do what you want to do? Okay. So, you can all see this here rope. Could you help me pull it out? Thank you. All right. Would you mind taking it as far as you can down that way? Thank you. Okay. Thanks. You don't have to pull it. That's fine. Thank you. All right. So, imagine that the length of this rope, or this rope, represents your life. Okay. So this rope here is your life, all of your life. But, do you see the part painted in red? Remember this little piece here in red? Okay. So this whole rope is your life, but this piece in red is your life here on earth. And the rest of it is life in eternity. So irrespective of how many years you live here on earth, whether it's a lot, whether it's a little, at the end of the day, in comparison with eternity, it's really only that long. And once you die, remember, once you die, it's just your body that dies. Your soul lives on, and your soul lives on in eternity. And eternity is kind of long. And your life on earth is kind of short. I mean, I'm walking away from it, and it's becoming harder and harder to see. I'm not even sure you can see it from where you're sitting at the back there. Yeah. And I still haven't reached the end of eternity. The point is this. Life on earth is short. Life on earth is that little red piece. And eternity, it never ends. It's forever. And the choices we make now in that little space, they matter. So every choice, it's important to remember, matters, not only for your life in that little red space, but for all of eternity.
Oh, yeah. Yes, so, see, eternity is a very, very long time. And also, we know from what we've experienced tonight, seeing a visual display of Jesus' death and his resurrection. And we know that he tells us that we can only attain eternal life through believing in him and accepting his gift of salvation, his payment for our sins. And when you accept Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you attain eternal life. From the moment go, you have access to that. Your life continues eternally. It's not something you get when you die. It's something you get while you're living, because we are a living people. Our souls live on. The question is, will it be eternal life or eternal death? But we also know that, as Mario said, our choices affect eternity. What we do here in life echoes in eternity, for those who've seen Gladiators. A true quote. Very much so. Not saying that good deeds earn you a better spot in heaven, but it is showing through our actions after accepting Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, after accepting that gift of eternal life, show our gratitude. This verse in the Bible talks about, should we continue sinning to let grace abound? By no means. It talks about that. But now, as we were servants of iniquity, we are servants now of God, under his righteous standard. And so, that about wraps up what we've been doing here. Almost. Just one last bit to our display.
It's the full story of life. 4 minutes. The entirety of humanity in the palm of your hand, crushed into one sentence. Listen, it's intense, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. God. Yes?
Right. So let's just end off tonight with a word of prayer. Lord, Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that even though we sinned, even though we separate ourselves from you, Lord, that you loved us enough to retrieve us, Lord, to redeem us. That you paid the price for us, Lord, because only you could do it. And you did willingly because you love us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring us to position under you, back to a position where we can experience you, engage with you, have that intimate connection with you that we've lost, and now we have it. Thank you, Lord, for sending yourself, your Son, to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Right, guys. Thank you so, so much for engaging with us this evening, for participating, for going along with all the things that we've made you do. So now we're just going to break up into small groups now. One last bit, and then afterwards we'll have refreshments. Cool, so if you get into your small groups, small group leaders, everyone knows the drill.